that the Max cameo was completely pointless.
Oh my god, no. I just...
Why stick it in? I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, so they could call it a Mad Max saga. Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's Movies and TVs podcast for August 2024. Tonight I'm joined by Simon Crust.
I'm mad as Max.
And Mark Costello.
Hello, everyone.
For our August Movies and TV podcast, we'll be offering up a top 10 list of recommended watches, and then we'll deep dive into our topic of the month, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. More on that later. First, we've got some juicy competitions. Hardware competitions win an LG Cinebeam Q projector worth $800. A compact and portable 4K projector with wireless connectivity for streaming, movie watching and gaming wherever you want. That closes 15th of October. You can also win a single Oslo home cinema seat worth $1,400 courtesy of Valencia Theatre Seating. It features Italian top grain Nappa leather, a powered headrest and lumbar adjustments, hidden arm storage and LED lighting. That closes 31st of August. And you can win £500 to spend with MPB, the largest global platform to buy, sell, trade and use in used photo and video gear. That closes 31st of August as well. And a last closing competition chance for winning a streaming service worth £2,400. Roxanne Atessa integrated streaming amplifier and monitor audio silver 100 7G bookshelf speakers closes August 28th. All competitions open to eligible AV Forums members over 18, resident in the UK. Head over to avforums.com/competition to enter, where you'll find a whole bunch of disc competitions as well. Some juicy 4K prizes, loads. There's loads. Right. Let's look at some of the best titles we've seen in August. I'm going to run through the list because the list starts with Rebel Moon, and any list that starts with Rebel Moon, isn't it? These are the top things you can watch in August. They include Rebel Moon. Okay. Chapter One, Chalice of Blood, Director's Cut. I mean, I loathingly included this because it is slightly better than the theatrical cut, but really, you don't want to get involved in the whole Rebel Moon debacle because by the time you come to Chapter Two, your eyes will be bleeding. The Instigators also made the list, really shouldn't have, but Matt Damon, you know, I mean, yeah. Anyway, it's there. It's on Apple TV. You can watch it. It's meh. Trap. I read your review, Mark, and I actually want to see it, despite the score. So that did make the list.
Do you know what? It's worth it just to see Hartnett. He is very, very good in it. I think it's just, it will be the running theme of this podcast. The writing of it is it's just not up to spec, and we will be revisiting that topic shortly.
Surely not for Furiosa. Surely not. Despicable Me 4. Despicable Me 4 is the lesser of the sequels, but it's still an enjoyable family romp. Alien Romulus should have been a lot better than it was, apparently. And you sent me to watch it at home.
Yeah. Well, all you need to do is just have a look at the discussion that's going on in the threads about it. It's generated an awful lot of heat. I think the reason for it is it's a case of it could have been so much better. As it was, it's passable enough, but too many callbacks, too much reliance on the past. It almost went the opposite way to what Scott did with Prometheus. Less said about Covenant, the better. It kind of just went, no, we are going to distill the essence of the franchise down to its bare bones and give everyone a triple helping of pure alien goodness. Seems to work for a lot of people. Didn't work so much for me, but hey, it's got that there, internet ablaze about it, and it's got renewed a huge amount of interest in the franchise, which is only good. So now, hopefully, fingers crossed, Scott will get to go back and finish his prequel trilogy, which is really all I wanted in the first place.
Really?
Really looking forward to that. Awesome.
But do you know what, though? And I tell you what, you watch Romulus, and you will have a newfound appreciation for Prometheus.
Really? You'll have me reaching for my flute, will it?
Yep. Yeah. Well, Kaz, you know what they say. You blow, I'll do the fingering.
Oh, God. Oh, If anybody out there still watching Walking Dead after a billion TV series and then it concluding and then doing spin-offs and then the spin-offs taking a year to hit Sky, there are two new ones. Daryl Dixon.
Jesus.
Yeah, Daryl Dixon and Dead City. And I, you know, stone me, but I enjoyed both and I really enjoyed Dead City a lot more than I thought I would. Really, really moody piece, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan is worth every second of screen time. Interview of the Vampire came back for part two, concluding the story of Interview of the Vampire, because it adapted the original first novel in two parts. And anyone who's seen the Cruise movie will know it ends pretty spectacularly, and it's a nice run up and a nice conclusion, and some very sweet twists.
I'm halfway through season two, Kaz. I'm enjoying it. Not as much as season one. It's missing Lestat an awful lot.
I know, but it really makes up for it at the end.
Good.
Yeah, it does miss him, and it's a really slow start, but the payoff is, good. I think it's excellent. So I shall
keep watching then.
Yeah, do, because I thought that for the first few episodes, I was like, this doesn't work without him. But they kind of feature him more and more. Mostly through Louis going mad, and I think that kind of works, but the payoff, yeah, the payoff is really good. My pick of August was actually Bad Monkey, Vince Vaughn. It's
Bad
Vince Vaughn,
Monkey.
Yeah, in Florida. It's a bit like Florida Man on Netflix, which no one watched but was actually a lot of fun. I think you watched it, Si.
No.
Okay. Well, Florida Man on Netflix is also worth a watch, but Bad Monkey is Vince Vaughn doing his kind of Motormouth thing, but more restrained, and it really works. It's very funny. It's kind of a sort of an Elmore Leonard-esque romp, all about the script and the quirky characters. Really enjoying it. Really
nice.
Enjoying it. And I also
What's
watched
that on Apple.
That's on Apple. And I've also watched the first 5 minutes of the new season of Slow Horses. And
very
excited. It's not back till September.
I'm all over Slow Horses. Over it.
Yes. The new season looks juicy.
Nice.
Nice.
Right. Our main discussion, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. I really hate having to say a Mad Max saga.
Yeah.
For starters,
we'll let you off it, Kaz. Just Furiosa. You're amongst friends. It's fine.
It's ridiculous. I was gonna introduce this by talking about Mad Max, but I'm gonna say they should have just let this stand on its own as Furiosa. Sticking a Mad Max saga as its subtitle is clunky and cheap, and I think it would have been fine just calling it Furiosa.
I disagree.
What stick? You need it to have a Mad Max saga on there to sell it.
Yes,
that didn't work out.
Well, no, but I think it's been what? How many years since Fury Road? How many people would have remembered that Furiosa was in Fury Road?
No, she should have sold it for their own on its own thing. Yeah. Yeah, generate interest that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other way around is you call it Mad Max saga, and everyone starts going, "Well, where's Mad Max?"
Well, it's a double-edged sword, but we'll come on to that as we drill into it.
Right. So, Mad Max, you know, whatever. 30, 40-year legacy?
Yeah, 45. Chunk
of change.
45 nearly.
Yeah.
Was it 81? No, 81 was Road Warrior, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, 79?
It was 79.
So, a chunk of change for Mad Max, the original Mad Max, which I didn't see first. I saw Road Warrior first. I came into Mad Max afterwards. You know, it's an interesting thing because it does start pre-apocalypse, and it introduced us to this, you know, iconic Mel Gibson character, and to Miller's particular style of absolutely insane road wars on a budget. Right from get-go, it was on a budget. And he did the first three movies, and you know, they are classics. I even enjoy, you know, Turner's "We Don't Need Another Hero" romp, but I do find that the return of Max with Fury Road was a whole different beast. It was like a Tron to Tron Legacy beast. All of a sudden, Fury Road was all about the audio visual majesty. It still had the Road Wars. It still had a particular style. You could still relate it to the other movies, but it was such an experience. And I actually absolutely love being back in there. I mean, it's just a nonsense movie in narrative. The narrative is just we drive away and then we drive back. I mean, it's as simple as that, but somehow they make it absolutely gripping, and they do make characters that you care about. And one of the characters that I cared about most wasn't Max, who Tom
Brilliant.
Hardy, Mumble Hardy, didn't do a bad job with, but it wasn't his film. It was Furiosa's film. Now, they then went, oh, we've got, well, in fact, before they made it, they said we've got three movies planned: Mad Max: The Wasteland, Mad Max Furiosa, and Mad Max Fury Road. And Furiosa was going to be a, I think, a prequel sequel. So it was going to be a bit of her before and afterwards. And it was going to be Charlize Theron. And obviously, everyone involved in Fury Road said, no, I'm going to slit my wrists and not like Daniel Craig. And so they're never coming back to do anything like that. So over the years, it became apparent it wasn't going to be Charlize Theron. I threw a hissy fit. And they recast it. And 10 years later, we get Furiosa, which is far too long. And it tanked. It absolutely tanked at the box office. I didn't see it at the cinema, so I contributed towards its failure. But I really, really loved it. And I loved it for a number of reasons, which I think we're going to dive into in a what is going to be a spoilerific discussion. We're not going to say, yeah, really, really massive spoilers, but really, if you want to watch this film, you should go and watch it.
To be fair, I don't think you could spoiler this. You could spoil it. Sorry, there's
No,
nothing to
it's
spoil, really, is it?
like
So,
Fury Road. It's like drive forward and
yes,
back. I mean, it's to some extent it is like that. But
but
I
yeah,
like
we are going to
isn't.
get into it more
Yeah,
than the
yeah.
light touch of the review, shall we say?
Yes, go, Mark. Go on, take us down Furiosa Road.
Okay, so I, like you, have a very interesting relationship with the Mad Max films. I saw Mad Max first. I watched Road Warrior and was completely befuddled by its legacy and reputation. Thought it was all right, but seeing as it was heralded as this, the beginning of the dawn of action cinema, the vehicle, ideal word, that proved that action, pure action and nothing but action can be cinema. I thought it was all right. Interestingly enough, I was much more interested in Beyond Thunderdome
You're
because
weird.
I,
Yeah, that is
well,
weird.
but hang on, bear in mind, I'm going back some. I'm going back some. So this is my first introduction, and I liked the expansion of the mythos with Thunderdome. I liked the fact that Road Warrior had established this grim world where basically, it was sand and fuel. That was it. That's all that mattered, sand and fuel. And Thunderdome tried to create a living, breathing world with real characters in it. And I thought, you know what? Did a fairly decent job. Could I have done without the kids? Possibly. But, let's be honest. It was the 80s. There was Muppets everywhere. It was de rigueur. So it was fine. And then, obviously, off the back of Fury Road, which I saw in a empty cinema on Guernsey while I was away with work. I had two nights. The first was Avengers Age of Ultron, and the second was Fury Road. And Fury
Oh,
Road was amazing.
yeah,
Fury Road
beats
was
that hands down.
absolutely amazing. At that point, I went back and revisited the three Mad Max films, kind of sort of about faced a little bit on them. I can see why Road Warrior is held in such high esteem. But interestingly enough, on a recent rewatch of Fury Road, Fury Road is a remake of Road Warrior, which is fine, which is absolutely fine. So you know what that makes Furiosa? It's a remake of Thunderdome. Well, bear with me. If you think about it, Fury Road established basically sand and fuel. That was it. There's these characters that are in it, but it was nothing but sand and fuel. So along comes Furiosa, and what's Miller tried to do? He's tried to create a world within that environment. He's tried to expand the mythos. He's tried to put characters in it. Ironically enough, how does Furiosa start? With a Moppet. Oh, there we go. You know, so I view Furiosa as, you know, a Thunderdome version, a cover version of Thunderdome. And it works for the same things for me, and it fails for the same things for me. But it was interesting, and I've just picked up the 4Ks of Rogue Warrior and Thunderdome, so I've seen them both this year, and it was immediately apparent the minute I'm watching Furious. I only watched it for the first time last week. I thought, this is Thunderdome. He's doing exactly what he wanted and tried to do with Thunderdome. He's doing it here, except I don't think it went far enough. I think for me, and we can get into this, and I'm sure we will, the thing that stuck in my brain was I heard an interview with Miller where he explained the origins of Furiosa, about how on one of the many periods of downtime when they were filming Fury Road, he gave Charlize Theron, in essence, the backstory of Furiosa, which they just began working up and working up and working up and adding more and more to it because they had so much downtime. And before you know it, they had something which both of them thought, hang on, we could turn this into a movie. And I get that then they were all ready to go and they wanted to do Furiosa first back then because it made a natural progression. Anyway, they went with Fury Road. But to me, it feels like, certainly the script of this feels like it was born from, well, it's backstory for another film. It didn't feel like it had enough in it to give it that mythos expansion I think the world deserved. And I think that something like Beyond Thunderdome actually did. So I don't dislike this, not by a long shot. On Letterboxd, when you have to put a score in, I gave it 7 out of 10. Which ironically enough is my same score for Thunderdome. And I gave Fury Road 8 out of 10, which is the same score I gave Road Warrior. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting in.
Whereas Fury Road is obviously an 11.
Yeah. It streaks ahead.
If you say so.
How did you find it? How did you find it, Si? I mean, it's interesting because you're making me think about it like Thunderdome now, which I'm not liking doing.
Be strong, Kaz.
Yeah.
Be strong.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you've put that, Mark. Very, very interesting. And I agree with your last statement. It does feel like a backstory film right from the off. It's too long as well. And there doesn't seem to be quite enough in it. I would have scored it more closer to an 8 than a 7 if I was scoring it now. It's very good. The it's a good start. How she gets taken, who she gets taken by, very good, like that. The whole aspect of her growing up, good. The meeting with Immortan Joe, good. The splitting out of the Citadel and the two other towns, Bullet Town,
Gas Town.
That's it. I was going to say Fuel Town, but Gas Town. Very good. So he's building his world. It's very good. I like the way that was it Dementor, Dr. Dementor. What's his name?
Dementus.
That's it.
Dr. Dementor. We're going to call him. Yes.
I like the way that he can't control his own troops. I like the way that he starts off as some sort of godlike figure, but it actually, when you finally get the confrontation at the end, you realize he's just a little weed. That was great.
Yeah, very, literally. Very
yeah, literally. Yeah. Is that a spoiler? No.
No.
I like the relationship between, what's his name? Pretorian, the first
Jack. Yeah, Pretorian Jack. Yeah.
That relationship between him and Furiosa, that was great. I'd like to have seen a bit more of that.
Mm.
And her drive to get revenge was very good. Yeah. The reason why she wants to get her revenge, brilliantly done. You can see the Furiosa fury in her eyes all the way through because she doesn't really say much. Very good. There's not a lot to dislike, apart from it's a bit long. CGI is a bit ropey. Anyone who says it isn't clearly isn't looking at it. I think the weakest point for me, The weakest point for me is when she goes back for the wives. To me, there wasn't enough story for why she wanted to go back for the wives.
Yeah,
Yeah, because
to other
the
than to
whole
tie it
drive,
into the other movie.
exactly the whole film of Fury Road is her taking the wives and going off. That is the film. Now there wasn't. I thought this was going to be a little bit more about what happened to her to make her want to take the wives from Ewart and Joe, and there wasn't really that at all, which is a bit of a shame. Because that for me was the weakest point.
I think the connective tissue for me, and I'm going to go with criticism first. I think the connective tissue was weak. I think that they had an uphill struggle without Charlize Theron, but I couldn't see how the end of Furiosa was the start of Fury Road. I just couldn't. It didn't work for me. If they stuck 10 years, then I can see how they did it, but I can't see how it literally led into it. It just
It
was.
literally, yeah.
Yeah,
It
it's
that
so
didn't
it
work.
was they didn't they rushed that. I actually think that they rushed the montage three-way battle, which was shot as like
Oh,
a
the 40-day
land
war.
war. Yeah. And I think that that was a shame because it was a 40-day war, but in screen time it was like 40 seconds, and it didn't give it enough impact to go to change the landscape, the power balance so dramatically from like one side being so on the back foot to then dominating the others. And that's essentially what took place in a matter of minutes over this 40-day war. And I think it's the scene started with one character facing off against some others. And very much feeling overwhelmed and outnumbered in an instant, and then 40-day war, and then at the end coming out on top of everybody, and that to me felt unearned and underdeveloped. So I actually would say that it was a long movie, but I would have done with it being longer if they'd have fixed that and connected it better, or not connected it, just had a scene at the end that suggested that at some stage in the future you would get Fury Road rather than try and link the two movies to the point where the movie ends with a montage of Fury
Yeah, that
Road
was so stupid.
as if this is what, yeah, this is what's, and that all that does is remind you, oh yeah, there's Fury Road.
This
Oh,
is a better
this
film.
comes next. And then all of a sudden you're left going, this comes next. But I'm gonna say those are my criticisms, and actually I love Furiosa. What I've noticed, and it'll come on to this in the disc review when we talk about some of the titles I've watched recently. What I love about some of these movies that are flawed is the ambition. I was thinking about this when I wrote up the Riddick review, Chronicles of Riddick review. These movies are really flawed. I get it. But the ambition is, if you think about it, it is almost written in Hollywood lore that you must make a sequel which is bigger, has more explosions, and does pretty much the same as the first movie, but bigger. That is the mantra across all sequels. You have to follow the formula, you have to have it, but it has to be bigger. More explosions, more body count,
Those are
more
bigger teeth.
craziness. Yeah, I mean, it just
To borrow a line from Jurassic Park.
yeah, you can't really do something different. And I think that that is ultimately where I really applaud Furiosa, because it isn't just Fury Road again. It is a completely different style and narrative, and like you say, it goes world building. It might indeed be a bit Thunderdome. I actually felt it was also a bit Mad Max in the way it introduces us into this world and introduces her into this world. I thought it had tremendous momentum right from the outset, and the way they bring whether the way they bring her from child to adult, I thought was superbly done. Everything Simon says about it, I mean, all of the stages they get right. And the world building did work for me, because Fury Road was just a chase movie. but you didn't know all of these things from that. So if you watch Fury Road, you know about the guy from Bullet Town, you know about Gas Town, you know about Immortan Joe, you know the setup. The only newcomer is Dementus. And I think that he was fabulously done by Chris Hemsworth. He nailed
Totally.
it at being totally not Thor and being a bit pathetic, but also desperately dangerous. I mean, some of the scenes of his group's torture were
Oh yeah.
tremendously staged and
They
very,
really
very
get you to
Miller,
hate them, didn't they?
the way they kind of haze out a little bit, like it's a nightmare going on in the background with just cars spinning and someone hanging in the corner and screams. I mean, Miller's done that even in his original trilogy, and I think that it very much worked here. I loved that it was completely different story. It was Furiosa's odyssey from child to adult, from having everything taken from her to this mute voyage to revenge. It was broken down into chapters. It didn't rely on just set pieces. And then when the set pieces came along, they were so imaginative. You get them on the truck and you're thinking it can't top Fury Road. And I appreciate there's some seminal moments in Fury Road, but some of the stuff they do with the bikes and the truck, it's really like, oh my God, they're going to do that? And they're going to do what? It's just the innovation there felt beautiful. I didn't have much problem with the effects. There were a couple of moments at the beginning which I thought were jarring when I watched it on digital, but when I watched it on disc, I noticed nothing that I had a problem with. So either my eyes were already expecting it, or it just didn't stick out as much. I thought some of the practical stuff, particularly on the truck, was really very well handled, and I mean, I loved it. I loved his world building, and I loved that Miller went, I'm going to do a sequel. It's not necessarily going to be bigger. It's not going to star my lead character. It's going to be a completely different style of movie, and I'm going to just launch it and see what happens. And I get that it tanked, but my God, we need more movies like this. We need more movies that don't go, we'll just do the
But don't
same again, but
conform.
bigger. Yeah. And so I
Alien
get,
Romulus.
I mean, what are you using that as an example of something that doesn't conform or does conform?
Does co
Okay.
woefully conform.
So I mean, that's what I want. I want movies that take a risk, even if they're flawed. I want movies to take a risk like this, and very few blockbusters. I mean, I'm looking at Dune here as the only other comparable. Very few blockbusters do stuff like Miller's done on this scale. You know, it's just uncharted territory. And I get that it doesn't all work, and it's clearly doesn't all work for everybody because it utterly flopped at the box office. And people have been crying about where's Mad Max? And oh, well, I guess they've got someone else, there's Praetorian Jack, who's kind of like Mad Max in it. That'll do. No one needs that. I mean, if people celebrated a movie like this, you'd get another Mad Max movie, rather than just sort of decried it for not doing more of what we've already had for the last four movies. I really, really was fully on board with this. And I will say, I wasn't fully on board before. Despite Tom singing its praises on the cinema review, I was like, I'm still miffed about Charlize Theron not being in it. And it's still been too long for it to get going. And the reviews are middling. Even though Tom rated it, the reviews are middling. Maybe I'll just check it out on disc. And I really wish I'd seen it at the cinema because I had a blast.
And I think this is the thing with the film. It's interesting some of these discussions that we're having now in light of some of the discussions we've had over other recent films. Again, I'm going to bring Romulus up because a lot of it is exactly the same. What Miller is probably the best on the planet at this moment in time is being able to create a tactile world packed full of. I mean, you just look at the characters. I mean, obviously you've got the main characters in this, which are a hoot. But what Miller does really well is every character has just something about them. I mean, the one that stood out for me in this was the history man. It's like, you know, and you can see that obviously someone's gone, right, in this world where there is just sand and just fuel and just
trucks, and nobody can read,
how do we, you know, try and capture history? The history man, you know, and you think that's clever. That is world building 101.
I think that you're absolutely right. And I think if you look directly at Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, where they did William H. Macy, I think, as the like equivalent, the old guy in the background who could help train the apes on human history and who could read books.
Mm.
I think they do it so much better here. I think it's it hit there. That was just an actor you recognize in a role that's kind of an old man role, and it's in the background. Here, it felt like a very lived-in person.
And I think it's because, again, what Miller does is you can tell his characters come from the world. Those are characters who have lived in that world. They are as a direct result of their environment. You know, but he peppers just enough through it. You know, Hemsworth's Teddy.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it could have literally just hung there and never been talked, but there's something like three lines that talk about it, which is all you need to go, okay, that is more than just a visual idiosyncrasy to break up the sand.
So he wants it back.
So, you know, exactly. So Miller is fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic at that. I am going to take exception, though, with what you said about his world building outside of that. Because we open on the green place.
Yeah.
And we open with Dementis's men having already found the green place, and boom, they're off. They kidnap Furiosa, away they go. Now I'm sat there going, so the rest of this movie is sand battle, sand battle, sand battle, sand battle. Surely what we want to know is, what's going on with the green place? Tell me about the green place!
Yeah, but we know that from Fury Road, don't we?
But how, you know,
there is no green places is the answer, is Miller's answer to all of that. That was just a glimmer of something that was never going to last.
But still, that's one example, I think, for me, of you've built this world, you've built, and it is a great world. And why are we not following Immortan? How did Immortan Joe? What happened with the Citadel? We already know that. So what happened with we're not going to delve into the Citadel anymore. We're not going to tell you any more than you already know about the Citadel. So, you know,
but that's not the story, is it? The story is Furiosa.
No.
She came from there and went to there and went to there and then went back.
So that's absolutely right, Si. And my point being is this really the best story that Miller could have told in this? The world is amazing. The characters are already there. They're amazing. For me, it was the least interesting story he could have told.
We're kind of skirting around the same thing, really. You know, we're all saying it's a great film, but the actual story is a bit. Connective tissue, I think, was the words that Kaz used, which is kind of the story.
Yes, yeah. I don't think it holds up to scrutiny when you stick it side by side with Fury Road. But I think I'm just all about the scale and the ambition, and I'm okay. Absolutely. I'm okay with. I don't know whether I came in expecting, especially after Furio, this fantastic narrative. Mm. I'm okay with this being a colourful revenge narrative. And as such, it kind of works because, as you say, the characters within this revenge narrative make it. I mean, the entire segment with Praetorian Jack, I wanted more of the two, but I heard that they discussed the more of the two they had planned. And they said it's not this story, that this story had to, there was no safety for them within this story, so it couldn't be this romance. And I actually applaud that, because in any other movie it's gone down more traditional lines, but actually in this they were constantly under threat. I mean, even when they were working together and working for Immortan Joe, they were constantly under threat.
Can we all agree though that the Max cameo Oh, was completely pointless.
Oh my god! Ridiculous. Oh my god! No, I just
why stick it in? I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, so they could call it a Mad Max saga. It's Mad Max is in it.
Romulus. It's the Romulus stuff all over again.
I did not need that scene at all in that movie at all. Yeah. I didn't need to know where Max was or what Max was doing or whether he was peeing on a
two-headed lizard.
Yeah, I didn't I really didn't need
it felt so out of place. And
whether I can make the timelines align with it. So I don't know what he was doing. Maybe it was another scene where he was also parked peeing on a lizard. Maybe this one was one-headed.
Well, I think it is. It can't be. It can't be the same time, and it can't be the opening scene of Fury Road. You're right.
So why is it in there?
That's my point. That's exactly the point. And it's the point that's been raised time and time again by Romulus as well. I'm coming back to that. But there's so many similarities.
What, Mad Max is in Romulus? Oh.
Yeah. do you know what? It would have made it better. But it's the same kind of fan service. What? I mean, do you know what? You want to stick a cheeky Easter egg in there? All right, fine. But what,
just have the car.
Abandoned
bike.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it was what? Pan 3 seconds? It was 3 seconds, so it was hardly egregious, but it stood out.
It stood
like
out.
It did stand out, yeah. Oh. And it was utterly unnecessary. But anyway, I feel aggrieved that the response to Furiosa suggests that we won't get more Furiosas because I don't need more sequels that do the same. And it's a shame in a way because it literally, I would like Miller to keep making these movies, even if they take him a few years. I'd like him to just suddenly come out of the wasteland. I've been in the desert for a bit and I shot this and it looks like this. I mean, I am on board with that. If he can find a way to doing Mad Max Wasteland, I'm all in on that. And I think it's such
it'll
a shame.
Be about 100
that...
years old though when that comes around.
it's what I hope.
De age himself.
Yeah, but it's what I hope for. It's Warner, isn't it? So Warner did Dune, and I feel like someone in Warner, if they just go, these are worth the risk. Then
they
might
now,
keep making
well,
more money, have they?
I don't know, but if they, I know what you're saying, but if they have a legacy that includes movies which are remarkable for different reasons, maybe that's enough. And I think that they make enough DC movies. They make enough nonsense and commercially successful nonsense and enjoyable nonsense. To fund the coffers to keep making stuff that where you go, yeah, look, the Warner catalog has got Fury Road and Furiosa and Wasteland in there and Dune 1, 2, and 3. I mean, someone in the executive team must have looked at Dune and gone, well, yeah, it didn't do great, but you know what? It's worth a sequel. And we got a sequel and it, you know, it did gangbusters in inverted commas.
I don't think they're the same. I don't think they're the same. I think the problem you've got now is ironically, I think it's the exact same problem that Miller had back in 81, which is I've created pure spectacle with Road Warrior and with Fury Road. What else do I do? And you're right. He could have just gone, I'll do this, but I think it probably would have killed him, given the tales of horror about Fury Road. So it was almost like, because of what had gone, he almost had to do something different. He had to, because I think no one would have come out for Road Warrior 3. I don't think anyone would have come out for Fury Road 2, because as great as that spectacle was, I've seen it. I've done it. I do not need a repeat, because it's too lean. It's too lean. A repeat of it, it would be a carbon copy and only not as good. So he had to go different. And you're right, Kaz, to applaud him for going different, he's absolutely right. But he's got the same result as he had with Thunderdome, which is, I tried it. It didn't really work, did it? Because the world he's created is sand and fuel, and that is it. It is not a world that leads to in-depth characterizations who have deep-seated emotional relationships and darkly complex backstories. It's a world that creates demented warlords who are only after wives and fuel. that's it. So he's almost hamstrung himself by creating this world, because what else can you do in it other than potentially the wasteland? He gets to the end of the wasteland and guess what? Oh, it's the 20th century. Hey, what? Hey, ooh, what? Hey, what? Hey? Yeah. Now that would be fun. Can you imagine Dementors going down, you know, the M6? I'd watch that.
You should try the M25. You wouldn't get very far.
but it's the problem, which is now I am struggling to see what Miller could do for a third film here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm genuinely struggling. I kind of don't want another prequel.
Yeah, agree.
So I could see why, if he's hamstrung by budget, he does a Riddick and goes Mad Max. Low-key surviving in the wasteland. And I know it's a bit of a throwback to things we've already seen, but I'd be okay with more of this world if they could make it work. The one thing I would like is for them to treat his car with a tiny bit more respect. You know, that car is like...
It's
the linchpin. It's so iconic, and yet it's like Dom's Dodge Charger in all the Fast and Furious films. He has to wreck it. He has to wreck it like far too early as well. He just gets the petrol and then he crashes it. He just drives off from the lizard and then he crashes it. I mean, he's a terrible driver. You got to put him behind a truck because he doesn't stand a chance driving the... It's too much power in there, the last of the V8 Interceptor's most impractical car in the apocalypse. It's just a terrible thing. Anyway, I'm up for more. I know we probably won't get it, or we'll be very old when we do, but I am up for more.
I think the key to it is, Kaz, I think people should absolutely go and see it. You know, we've seen in the forums some fairly barn pot reasons for not seeing it. You know, people saying, oh, it looked like it was just another girl power type film. What?
Yeah, it's great.
It's not that. I mean, if that's what you see when you look at it, that's fine. But take it from those that have seen it. It ain't that. So don't let stuff like that put you off. Give it a go.
There is an irony there, though. The irony is that they're probably the same people who absolutely love Fury Road and are still in denial about the fact that it was absolutely Furiosa's movie. You know,
possibly, or it might just be the fact that, let's face it, Charlize Theron could take anyone in a scrap. Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy takes a bit of convincing, I think.
So,
you know, I think the key to it is, for all the discussion that we've had on this and for all the criticism and all that, we're still not a million miles apart in the fact that this is actually, it's a good movie. It's just some of us think it could have been better. Some of us think it's already great. But I think everyone should go and see it. It's really worth seeing. You know,
and
on
we need more
the
of these.
Screen.
We need, you know, not more of this, but we need more risk-taking.
I'm
not talking just about Max. We need more sequels that take risks.
Yes,
rather
definitely.
Than sequels that appease studios. So
hear.
Right. Okay. That's it.
For have the we done it?
Oh, we have
it's
done it.
Yes. Bloody hell. God, we can waffle some crap.
We can.
Jesus.
If you enjoy please give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really like to buy us a coffee, buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Bookmark AVForums.com for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Give us a 5-star rating. Whatever service you use, whether or not you liked it, just give us a 5-star rating. Do it. Thank you very much for listening and join us for another podcast real soon.
Cheers all. Right.